So this morning I want to talk to you about eye-opening prayer from Ephesians chapter 1. And if you would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the words of our God? Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15 and reading through verse 23. Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this: "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one which is to come. And He put all things under His feet, and He gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I pray each of us as we encounter Your Word would have a wow moment today where we would be in awe of You. And Lord, You would teach us how to pray. Lord, we want to pray in 2018 so that we could connect with You. Lord, we thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I remember when I was in college, and there was one particular time where I was on break for a weekend, and I traveled back from Norman, which is just south of Oklahoma City, about 2.5 hours over to Tulsa. And I took with me a friend that we carpooled together back to Tulsa. We both lived in the Tulsa area. And so we would carpool back so we could save a little cash, save a little bit of money. And not only did I want to save some money, but this young man was also a new believer in Christ. And so I wanted some time to spend with him. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So I wanted to help him out in his faith, and also being around new Christians sharpens me in my faith. And so we traveled together, and on the way we talked about different things in our lives. We talked about schoolwork and the different classes that we were in, and which ones were hard and which ones were fairly straightforward, were fairly easy. We talked about life. We talked about girls, of course. We talked about all kinds of different things that college students are interested in. And I remember being about halfway there down the turnpike towards Tulsa. And I remember just saying, you know, we've talked about a lot of things in our lives. And we ought to spend some time praying over the things that we have talked about. And I said, well, why don't I start us in prayer? And he looked terrified. And he's like, don't you think we ought to pull over first? And I asked, why would we need to pull over? Why don't we just pray now? He said, well, just don't close your eyes when you're praying. And see, he actually thought that in order to pray, in order to approach God, the only way he'd ever seen anybody pray is to actually close your eyes, the normal way we do it, close our eyes and focus in and pray. And he thought, well, maybe I just don't have enough faith to pray like that right now. And thankfully, I didn't either. So I don't encourage anyone to pray with their eyes closed when they are driving. But I wonder about this in our lives. There, I was going 75 miles an hour down the interstate, down the turnpike. And I certainly wasn't going to close my eyes because that would not be safe. But I wonder how many of us in 2017 and now going into 2018, how many of us have been going, not the speed limit in life, because nobody goes to the speed limit in life. How many of us have been going 80, 90, 100 miles an hour, life in the modern world, and we have been living our lives with our eyes closed to the things of God. How many of us have been going, blazing the trail of life, going at the frantic pace that we all live at in these days, and we spiritually have our eyes closed to the blessings, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Paul says in Ephesians 1 that He has given us in Christ Jesus. Are we blind to these things? Because our eyes are closed. I wonder sometimes as Christians, do we live a spiritual life in such a way where we're shopping at Goodwill when our homes are papered with Macy's gift certificates and we don't use them because we just don't bother to see them and read them? You know, we have been blessed in Christ Jesus in so many ways. And Paul, in this passage, is teaching us how to pray. He's showing us how we ought to approach God. And here in this passage, he prays for the Ephesian believers that their eyes would be opened to all of the spiritual blessings that they have in Christ Jesus. And when they see it, when they experience God in that new and fresh way, it will transform the way that they live in their lives. And so this morning, as we walk through this prayer of Paul, I want to let this passage inform how we pray, speak to our hearts about how we ought to approach God, and then let it transform our prayers this week as we together as a congregation call on the Lord and ask Him to work powerfully in our midst in 2018. First of all, this morning, what do I want you to see about eye-opening prayer is this. Eye-opening prayers thank God for what He has done. Eye-opening prayers thank God for what He has done. Beginning in verse 15, Paul begins his prayer by thanking God for specific aspects of what's going on in the lives of the Ephesian congregation. There in verse 15, he says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, mentioning you continually in my prayers." Here in this passage, Paul is thanking God for the faith of the Ephesian church, the faith of the Ephesian believers. Now, there's really two aspects of faith that we need to be thanking God for. The first aspect of faith is that saving faith, that act of faith where you no longer trusted in yourself, but you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. The one who died on the cross for your sins, who rose again from the grave, whose righteousness now applies to those who place their faith and trust in Him, who paid for all of our sins and gives us eternal life in Him. Now, I would encourage you to think of faith as not as something that you did long ago in your past. You did it once when you were a kid. You did it once at the Christian Life. You believed, and that was it. That's not the way the Bible talks about Christianity or the Bible talks about faith. The way the Bible talks about faith is the Bible says there was a point in time where you began believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and you continue to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ unto this day. It's not as if I did something long ago when I walked an aisle and prayed a prayer. That's just when I started this journey of faith. And so biblical faith is something that begins at a point in your life and you persevere in that faith, both working hard but also kept by the power of Almighty God in the faith, secure in Christ Jesus. And so Paul here is thanking God. God, I thank you that there are believers in Ephesus, this church that I planted, this church that I've started, and they are persevering in their faith. But there's a second aspect of faith, isn't there? Faith, this same idea, but another aspect, almost as if it is like a diamond that you can spin around and see different sparkles and different aspects of. There's an aspect of our faith as Christians where we exercise faith to step out, to trust God to do something where if God doesn't intervene and act, we'll either stumble or fall on our face. Or when He acts and we believe that He will act, that we trust in Him in such a way that when He answers that prayer, it will only be explainable by Almighty God at working in our lives. And I ask us, are we praying the kind of prayers for our church and for each other in 2018 where if God were to answer that prayer, it would be, we could say that our church and what's going on in our congregation is only explainable by the power of Almighty God. Wouldn't that be awesome to have that kind of faith? And Paul is thanking God that the Ephesians have that kind of faith in Jesus Christ, that they step out in obedience, believing that God will be true to His word. Let me ask you, do you have faith when it comes to your finances? Do you have faith when it comes to your finances, to where you trust God enough, to where you are willing to give, to tithe to the church, to give to missions in such a way where it hurts, but you trust in God that God's going to provide anyway? I know this is true of you because I looked over the banner here when I walked in this morning. You know what? I look at that and I say, thank God for you. Because we'd set a goal of 30,000 and we beat it by more than 20%. You know, that shows that we have a church that loves Jesus and loves people and wants to see the gospel go out to the nations. I thank God that your faith is being demonstrated. How do we demonstrate our faith in action? Faith without works is dead. How do we demonstrate this kind of faith and believing and acting? We demonstrate that by raising our children according to the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, in 2018, just like any day, we know that. But in 2018, in the American culture that we live in now, it is a tough day to raise children to follow Christ. I remember one time I mentioned in a sermon that I prayed for my kids every night that they would come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. And I remember right after that sermon, I got an email from somebody criticizing that, saying, "Why don't you just let them make their own decisions?" I said, "Well, they're not your kids." And I said, "The scripture calls me to raise my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if these things are true, and they are, then I want to call out to the Lord with them hearing me pray for them that God would transform their hearts and lives." It takes faith to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We demonstrate our faith in Lord Jesus Christ in our marriages when we remain committed to one another. And I know some of you are remaining committed in the midst of a very difficult and very challenging situation. But even in the midst of that, even in the midst of your pain, even in the midst of your struggle, you are persevering on, you're striving on, depending on the power of Jesus to do your vows, to stay true to your mate in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth. You are demonstrating faith, and for that, I am thankful. I'm thankful for that. And I praise God for that. We demonstrate faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when we're willing to make sacrifices for the furtherance of the kingdom of Christ. Paul in verse 15 says, "I thank God for your faith, that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you act on your faith." But he not only prays and thanks God for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but verse 15, he thanks God for their love. He thanks God for the love of the saints in Ephesus. You know, if somebody were to ask me, "How do I know I'm saved?" I would say, "Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord?" But you know what else I would ask them? According to the book of 1 John, another question I should ask them, "Do you love your brother?" Why do I say that? It's because 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says this: "We know that we have passed out of death into life." That's being saved. We know that we are saved. How? Because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. And so here in this passage, Paul is praying and he's thanking God for the faith, for the love of the Ephesian brethren, the Ephesian brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says, I thank God that you love each other. And this is evidence of true grace. This is evidence of true faith in our King Jesus. So how do we apply this? I want to encourage you this week, as you are praying, let your prayers resound in thanksgiving to God for evidences of His grace in your life. What should you be looking for specifically? Look for evidences of faith and look for evidences of love in your own life and the people around you. Here's specifically how I want to apply this. Husbands, this week I want you to thank God for your wife. And not only thank God for your wife, Paul is writing to the Ephesians and saying, I thank God for you. And so you also, I'm going to challenge you this week, thank God for your spouse. Now you might say, Travis, I think I've heard this part of this message before. Haven't you already told us a few weeks ago that we ought to be thankful for each other? Yes, because Paul says the exact same thing in the book of Philippians. And you know what? I'm hard-headed. If my wife was in early service, she would shout, Amen. Tomorrow is our 18th wedding anniversary. She's experienced for a while. But you know what? We're all hard-headed as believers. And you know what? Sometimes the Bible has to reiterate things over and over and over and over again to get it into our minds. And you know why the Bible says be thankful more than once? It's because we need to be reminded of that. Be thankful for your wife. And not only tell God that, but tell her that as well. She needs to hear you say, I thank God for you. Thank you. Then when I come home, food's ready. Thank you for how you love our children. Thank you for your sacrifice that you go to work every single day and work hard for our family. I am grateful for you. I thank God that He has given me such a beautiful, ravishing, amazing, astounding woman, and I only have eyes for you. Tell her that. And watch it bless your life. Wives, I want to challenge you to thank God for your husband this week. Tell your husband, I thank God for you. Is he perfect? No. The Ephesian church wasn't perfect either. Read the book of Revelation. The Ephesian church had its issues. But I want to encourage you, say to God and say to your husband, honey, I thank God for you, for all that you do to help our family. You go to work. You work so hard. You discipline our children. You come to church. You support our family. Your spiritual steadfastness, all of these things. Look for evidences of grace in his life, even if it's just small, even if it's minute, even if it's just like one piece of paper or one word, one line. I know. Even if it's one thing, thank God for evidences of grace in his life. Children, I want to talk to you for a second. Teenagers, listen close. Thank God this week for your mom and dad. And let them hear you tell them, I thank God for you. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know. My parents are imperfect. And I would say, yes, I'm an imperfect dad as well, very imperfect. But you know what? So was the Ephesian church. The Ephesian church was imperfect, and so are you. And you know what, boys and girls? Watch how God works in your life. Teenager, watch how God works in your life. Some of you don't have Christian parents. Even in their lives, watch how a thankful heart for what they do for you could lead them to understand there is something really different and unique and refreshing about you. What is it that has changed your life? Finally, I want to apply this in my own life. Richland Baptist Church. I'm thankful for you. As I look at you, I can't even hardly say it. I'm thankful for you. And I love every single one of you. I'm just astounded how God's just done this in my own heart and life and just in the last few months. But I love you. And I praise God for how you what you're doing. And for how you're serving the Lord and how you're volunteering in Awana. And how you're serving. Tomorrow morning there's going to be a group of moms or a group of atomic moms here, and they're going to be serving the Lord together, loving Jesus together. I praise God for that. I thank God for Jesus Loves Me preschool. I praise God for that. Walk up and down the halls and you'll see tons of families that don't know Christ here every single day, bringing their kids to Jesus Loves Me preschool. Ah, that's great. Thank God for those of you involved in women's ministry. Thank God for you who mow the lawn and scrape the ice off the sidewalk so people don't fall. Praise God. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you. Secondly, this morning, not only should we pray eye-opening prayers that ask God to open our eyes to show us what we ought to be thankful for in our lives. Secondly, eye-opening prayers ask God for what you need. Eye-opening prayers ask God for what you need. Now, here we need to be really careful, because so oftentimes we define our own needs for ourselves and we don't even realize, our eyes aren't even open to the things that we really need in our lives. I think there's times in our lives when we don't know what we ought to pray for, and our prayers seem kind of repetitive and kind of even sometimes boring. And maybe the reason why that is because we don't let our prayers be informed by the Word of God. The things that we ought to pray for are the things that are listed out for us in the prayers of the Bible, the things that the Bible says we ought to be praying for. And here in the rest of this sermon, I want to give you a few things, a few ways you ought to pray this week. God, open my eyes. And as you pray these things, watch God open the eyes of your heart and let you see God in fresh and new and amazing ways. How should we pray? Letter A in your outline, pray. God, open our eyes to know God through His Word. God, open our eyes so that we might know God through His Word. In verse 17, that's exactly what Paul is praying there. He prays, God, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. What he's praying there is he's praying, God, open our eyes so that we can see marvelous things in your law. And here's my request for you this morning. Would you commit to praying for me in 2018? I just want to be honest with you. I can spend 20, 30, 40, 50 hours a week studying the Word of God. And if God doesn't open my eyes to see it, I won't see anything in His Word. You've been there before, haven't you, where you open the book, you open the Word of God, and you taste it, and it says it's supposed to taste like honey, and it to the taste, it's supposed to taste so good, and it tastes like you're licking sandpaper. It just doesn't compute. Why is that? It's because these things are revealed and discerned by the Spirit of Almighty God. And I need you to be praying for me this year that as I study the Word and prepare to preach the Word of God to you, that I would not do it with the wisdom of man, but that I would do it with the wisdom of the Spirit of Almighty God as He opens my eyes to see glorious things in His law, things that I need to give to you during the preaching hour on Sunday morning. But here's something else that I'm praying for you and want you to pray for yourself. God, open all of our eyes so that we might see wonderful things in your law. Every single Sunday morning when we come together, the Holy Spirit of God must do a work in our midst so that we can see and behold Him in His words. That's what he prays. He prays, God, give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. What is wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge applied. It's knowing how to navigate life to the glory of God in 2018 and all of its craziness. That's wisdom. What is revelation? Revelation is simply God would open up our eyes to see something that was completely dark before. That's something that is revealed. God turning the lights on for us. And here Paul is praying, God, would you do these things? Give me wisdom to navigate the course of life. And Lord, open my eyes, turn the lights on so that I can see new things and have a moment of wow in my faith once again. My prayer for this church is that this next year would be punctuated with wow moments where God opens up our eyes to see His character, to see His nature, to see His glory in fresh, new, and living ways where we all say, wow, God, You are awesome. And we can't wait to go tell somebody else about Him. That's what this community and world desperately needs, is it needs a people who are not bored with God and His Word, but are wowed by God and His character and His might and His glory and say, God, You are so awesome. I can't wait to tell somebody else about what You have done and who You are. And this is only done, and this only happens, as the Spirit of God opens our eyes to see wonderful things in His law. John 16:13 says it like this. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and will declare to you the things that are to come. Pray that the Spirit of God works to open our eyes to see things in His Word and apply it to our lives this year. Let it be, open our eyes to know hope. Open our eyes to know hope. There in verse 18, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. It's really interesting. What did Paul thank God for in verse 15 and 16? I thank God for their faith. I thank God for their love. Now, when Paul usually talks about faith and love, he usually includes something else, doesn't he? What else does he usually include? Hope. He thanks God that they have faith. He thanks God that they have love. What are they in need of? They are in need of hope. And I wonder, in your life and in my life and in so many situations that people are dealing with across this room and in our church, I wonder if one of the great needs of the hour in our church and in our community and in our world is hope. Knowing that the situation, knowing that the trial, knowing that what you're dealing with is not a hopeless situation, because there is a King on the throne and He is in charge, and that He is working things out in a way that you may not be able to see right now, but you can place your faith and trust in Him with hope, knowing that the good news of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is this: God wins. God wins in the end. What is it like when God opens our eyes to hope? I think we see a story like that, about that in 2 Kings chapter 6. You don't need to turn there, but in that particular story, the king of Syria is trying to defeat the Israelites. He's trying to defeat the kingdom of Israel. But every time he gets his garrison together, every time he gets his forces together and he goes to fight the people of Israel, he gets there and there's nobody there. He got a report that they're there. He gets his armies and he goes there to defeat them. And when he gets there, he's just taking a walk in the park. And he's wondering, why is this happening? Why does it seem like every time I try to go defeat them, they're not there? And they tell him, the problem is Elisha. You see, the Israelites have this guy named Elisha. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says he tells the king of Israel all the words that you speak in your bedroom. It's almost like this is the 850 BC wiretapping prophet. And so he says, we got to get rid of this guy. If I don't get rid of him, I can't defeat the Israelites. And so he musters all of his forces, all of the people of Assyria, all the armies of Syria, and he goes out to get one guy. One guy. He surrounds the city of Dothan. And Elisha is right there in the middle. And Elisha is looking around and he doesn't seem to be concerned. But Elisha's servant is going crazy. His servant says, Elisha, don't you get it? We're toast, dude. I'm in the modern English translation. We're toast. And Elisha just says, God, open his eyes. And God answers Elisha's prayer. Boom. His eyes are opened. And what does Elisha's servant see? Elisha looks around and sees on the hillsides surrounding the prophet Elisha. The mountains are full of the armies of heaven and chariots of fire. And Elisha says, there are more that be with us than they that be with them. And you need to see that today. That whatever your problem that you're facing, there is hope because the forces of heaven are on your side if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. My prayer for you and your prayer for yourself and our prayer for the church ought to be, God, open our eyes so that we once again would have hope in hopeless situations. And friend, isn't that what we have to offer the world? We have to offer the world hope in a world that seemingly has lost hope. God, open our eyes to see hope. Finally, this morning, open our eyes to, or secondly, last, open our eyes to know our value to God. We'll blaze through this, but I want you to know this there in verse 18. At the end of verse 18, he calls you the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Think about this. God loves you and he died for you and he calls you his inheritance, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. We heard about this earlier this morning in the deacon scripture reading. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Do you ever imagine God singing over you? The book of Zephaniah says that he does. And he rejoices in you, and every step, even small steps, even little steps, every step of obedience and faith and love and hope in our lives. Even at the same time when all of these are gifts of God. Praise our Lord. Finally, this morning, what should we be praying? Not only, God, open our eyes to know our infinite value to the King, or our value to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he would pay the infinite price for us, but finally, open our eyes to know the power of God. Lord, open our eyes to know the power of God. Let's be praying that this week. There in verse 19, he prays, I pray that God, you would open their eyes to what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. You know, he's writing to a church here that desperately needs to see power, the power of God at work in their lives. And I would say not only was he writing to an Ephesian church that needed to see the power of God in the face of all of the supposed power of all of the occults that surrounded that age and day, but in our day as well, we need to experience afresh and anew the power of God and to know that the name of Jesus is above every single name. What is the power of God like? He says in verses 20 through 23, the power of God is like this. It's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power of God is the power that seated him in the heavenly places above all. Verse 20 says, above all principalities and powers and rulers. Verse 21, and forces and dominion and every name that is named. Jesus is above all. Jesus is above everything that you can name. Every trial, every sickness, every cancer, every suffering, Jesus is above all. Now, how can I stand here and say that with such confidence, knowing there are a lot of people in here who are praying, and God hasn't answered that prayer yet? Here's how. Because I know There are times when God answers our prayer in the present in wow ways. And I praise God for those moments and I long for those moments. And there are other times in our life when for whatever reason, many times they remain a mystery to us. God chooses not to answer that prayer immediately. But we know our hope in Christ. We know there is a day coming when every single one of those prayers will be answered. You pray to be healed. Sometimes God heals today. Sometimes He waits. But we know there is a kingdom coming when that healing will be there. When strife will be gone. When people will agree with one another. And there will be glory forever and ever. This power is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. This power is the power that raised Him and seated Him in the heavenly places above every principality and power and everything that can be named in this age and the age to come. It is the power that put all things under His feet, and it's the power that He gives the church in verse 23 to spread His name and His renown to all of the world. May God grant us an experience afresh and anew of that kind of power in our lives in 2018. What kind of power is that? That is power, power, wonder-working power that is ours because of the precious blood of the Lamb. Friend, I want to ask you, would you join me in prayer this week? You know what? God said in His Word that He responds to the prayers of His people. And if you study revival, the history of revival in the world, you will see that every great movement of God in the history of the church was started when God's people prayed. And so my challenge for you this week and my encouragement and my hope for this church is God would awaken in us a revival of prayer. And as His people begin to pray biblical prayers, that God would pour out His Spirit on His people in such a way that 2018 would be only explainable by the power of Almighty God working among the people of God. So would you join me in prayer this week? Let's stand and let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, Your Word is powerful. Lord, Your Word is effective. Lord, Your Word speaks to our lives and gives us hope, gives us peace, gives us grace, and helps us to see even the most difficult of situations with new eyes, with spiritual eyes, with the eyes of heaven. And Lord, I pray for each one here that You would, and myself included, that You would open our eyes. Lord, let us see the things in our lives already that we need to be thankful for. Lord, open our eyes to see glorious things in Your law. Let us see You with a fresh new vision. Lord, I pray that You would open our eyes to hope. Lord, that You would open our eyes to the price You paid for us and how valuable we are to You. And Lord, I pray that You would open our eyes to the power of God. Lord, we thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.